Hey, Pride fam. Welcome back to a brand new episode of
Pride the Podcast,
featuring the Core Four for a hot and hot topics episode. So grab yourself a drink and take a little time to hang with Pride. That was Supernatural by Ariana Grande. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Pride the Podcast, brought to you by our friends over at Rehab Entertainment. I'm Adam Andrew Rios.
I'm Mr. Braden Bradley.
I'm Ashley Mitchell.
I'm Darrell Anthony.
Hey, Darrell Anthony. How are you doing today?
How are you doing?
It's been a day.
It has been a week. It has been a couple of months.
It's been 35 years.
Yeah, no. Things are 35 and counting. Yeah, it's just been a day. But things are all overall good. I'm excited about St. Patrick's Day. I'm excited about things. So
there
are
things coming up.
Yeah. So there are things that I'm excited about. But yeah.
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 How's work going? Yeah. I know you recently just started a new position.
It is going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, work is going. It's different. You know what it is? I'll actually say. So I work, I told a lot of people I'm back doing concierge again, and I am working on the concierge side as opposed to, you know, how I was partnership managing and doing marketing before I left in. So it's interesting trying to take my mind back there. It's kind of like people who've been out of school for a while and decide to go back to school and have to try to relearn something.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's where I'm at, because I've been in such a, different position, and so doing this, and it's not, and it is, you know, one thing, it's great, it's more money being in this position, but it's relearning my mind of concierge as opposed to being on the operation side of things. So yeah. I've been on the operation side, and now I'm on the actual, you know, inside and doing the actual stuff, so that's a little bit different, but it is okay. I think I'm still learning people there. I do like my coworkers though, the people who are on my team with me. They are pretty amazing, and I get really excited talking to them.
Oh, I love that.
I get really excited talking to them, and they have been so reassuring. They've been saying some really sweet things, and they keep me going, so I really appreciate them. I like them a lot.
Well, thank God.
I like them a lot.
Is there anything worse than going to the office and you don't have anybody to talk to? Or
you need a work wife or husband.
Or bae, yeah.
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 And then when you have several. And I think I said that when I first talked about this on the podcast. Everyone's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, all the staff that I work with equally are nice. I think there are personalities, but there's personalities everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, I feel because I'm such a happy-go-lucky person, I think that when personalities clash, I get weird about it. But I know that I need to continue to learn that it's not personal.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard for me not to go to the personal route, because I'm such a personal, I'm a person.
Right.
And I am such a, I feel with my heart and my on my sleeve, and so people are girl, we just working, it's not that big a deal, and I got to learn that.
Yeah, there's a girl at work who I shall rename nameless, Dreema. Is she's super sweet, she's a sweet girl, but sometimes I'm just it's just like that, but whatever.
Yeah.
Ashley, what's going on with you?
So I've been spring cleaning.
Wow.
In my room.
Yeah.
It's been a journey. I've only cried twice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a few things at hand. I am a pack rat. I would say I'm a level one hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to let things go. I attach memories to things and clothes. So letting go of a piece of clothing feels like letting go of a memory.
Sure.
Even though it's not, that's not what's happening, but that's what it feels like.
I have mm-hmm. something to ask you about mm-hmm. that, but I know we plan on probably talking a little bit later more mm-hmm. on that. But, and think about the question and no answer now, but do you also think it has something to do with race, sexuality, gender, and stuff like that as well? Because that is mm-hmm. something, I talked to my grandma a little bit about it, and she was just for me, she said, you know, it's hard to let go of things because we had to get rid of so much before that we didn't have a choice to. And so a lot of people have that, but I know also that happens for white people too. So is it an older generation thing? Is it generational?
I don't know, because I watched the show Hoarders, and like I would say about 95% of hoarders is all white people.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I don't know.
I just don't think the word memory
clicked for me, because I think that there's a difference in a hoarding, because remember the guy who used to be at the hotel who passed away, unfortunately. Like he used to keep newspapers, and that's a lot of people say that's how it starts, keeping clippings and old papers, and then next thing you know.
Yeah, I'm guilty of all of that stuff, but yeah. I realize it brings me down, and it just got to the point where I literally felt like my room was attacking me. I was like, I have too much stuff, and I was just like, I've gotta let it go. And I'm going to pat myself on the back. I've been doing really well. I have 5 trash bags full of clothes.
Yeah.
And I still have a few.
Cheers to that.
Yes, cheers.
What are you going to do with them?
There are a few things. Like, I literally had some things that still had the tags on them. So, like, those I might take to, what is that place called where they, like, they buy clothes from you?
Buffalo Exchange.
There we go. Buffalo Exchange. Excuse me. So the things that have tags on them, I'm going to try and take them to Buffalo Exchange. But I would say about 90% of it is like Goodwill.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like you're in the same position actually as me. It's because like I want to sell some. You know, I was trying to sell that standing desk that was kind of brand new and pretty nice. And I've had it for 3 years since the pandemic. It was going into its 4th year. Actually, it hit its 4th year. And that's when I was like, I cannot keep this thing here. Mm-hmm. And because I've been in my mind, I think you had it with that shelf thing that you had or whatever. You know, that thing that you were trying to sell. That vanity that they sent and it's just like, I can't, what am I going to get out of get this out of my house? Like, and I just gave it to someone who needed it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's necessary, and I'm going through it. You know, I cried a couple times once I gave away or put in the giveaway pile the dress that I wore to my grandmother's funeral.
Mm.
And so, I don't know. It kind of felt like saying goodbye to her again. So then I started crying, and it was just like, but it was a dated dress, and like, I'm never going to wear it again. So it's like, you know, really. And I also have been trying to do the Marie Kondo way. Like, does this spark joy? And if it really does, and I'm going to wear it, then I'll keep it. If it only sparks joy, but I'm not going to wear it, I'm giving it away.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, and I still have like a bag of sweaters and like 2 more drawers to go through. And then I'll be done with clothes.
Maybe think of it as, yes, it sparks joy, but you could spread that joy.
I was gonna say.
And I had a moment like that today. Y'all remember the shirt that I wore, Adam, for your 30th birthday, the 90s? It had all the like cartoon characters on it. And I was just like, oh, this is such a like nostalgic piece. I was like, but I'm never gonna wear this. The only place I'd wear it to is like a 90s party. I shouldn't keep it just waiting for a 90s party. And then Charles was over here, and I had it in the maybe pile. He's like, let me see your maybe pile. And he was like, oh my God, this shirt would be perfect in my 90s Airbnb. And I was like, take it. I was like, I just wanted to go to a good home. Mm-hmm. But I was like, now it's spreading joy, like you said, somewhere else. Yeah. And I felt good about that.
That's good.
So
I was going to say, what if we found like a trans like charity?
Yeah.
And, you know, see if we can donate there.
Well, I think we should.
I would love that.
The LGBTQ homeless population in New York is at a
staggering.
It is at a sky high right now. And so I think that would be
great. Cool.
And not for nothing, I think it would be good for me to donate because I am plus size. And I'm sure they don't have a lot of options.
Yeah. Very that. Girl. And your shit cute.
Thanks, friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Brayden, what's going on with you?
I'm going to LA this weekend.
Woo! Oh, I'm jealous.
I know.
Why are you jealous? I'm there for 48 hours.
Oh, yeah. But LA always makes me happy.
LA sparks me joy.
Yeah.
At least
it's not Vegas.
Yeah, thank God. That's it. Just working and enjoying fatherhood.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. How is Frankie?
We're all in love.
Francis.
We're all in love with Francis.
Francis is good. We have a little issues with pottying, but that's okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I
mean,
tell him your dad to do too. Sometimes when you get lit and can't get to the bathroom, we all do. Look at us.
He's only a few months.
Listen, we all have potty issues. Like, I pee on myself like I'm an adult.
Yeah.
And like,
so I peed on myself coming up the elevator.
No, yeah. You didn't.
Yes, yeah, I did.
It's not like I didn't piss myself, right. But it's like just a few spittles.
Yeah.
So that way your bladder doesn't explode.
Yeah.
Well, as a survivor of bladder cancer, I would say go get that checked out.
Yeah, I know. But it's also the diabetes.
Oh, wow.
I pee a lot.
That's great. That's it. That's all I got.
That took it to a place.
Nice.
My Adam House thing's going for you, I guess.
Yeah. They're good. Yeah. We celebrated Pi Day in the office today, so there were mad pie.
Do you know what comes after 3.14?
3.15.
No. That's so stupid.
Play a little sound effect.
You are pathetic.
No, I don't know the next decimal point.
What's the question?
3.149.
Ooh,
I don't know.
4.975.
No,
something like.
It's a one.
3.14.
3.14159.
That's cool.
Three.
It's a long number.
Yeah.
Oh, it's mad.
Yeah,
long.
But I it's do know ending. That. But I do know 1.5932. I think is next. I don't know. Check me out. See my smart.
What
my
kind duff. Of pies that they have?
Girl, so like
nobody.
10 bakers. Yeah, one of y'all look. I'm what? Telling a story.
Oh,
how much? What is pie?
It's a, who cares?
Anyway,
you asked the fucking question,
right?
So there were all kinds of pies. Like one woman made a tiramisu. The winner was a tartatin with mango.
Oh,
you just made that name up.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds
it's just like it's a
tata for now.
Yeah, no, you know, you've heard it. We had them at Embassy Suites.
I had a lot of things at Embassy Suites. Some I shouldn't have been having.
And so it was mango. So that was the
winner.
That's
hard to make.
Yeah, like she won last year and she won this year.
Nice. Yeah.
Was there an apple pie?
Yeah, that we like bought as supplemental in case people didn't bring anything, but people brought stuff, and so
I would have brought my.
I know.
Key
I was
lime.
Like, oh, Brayden would like sweep with his key lime.
I won the pie contest at work.
Really?
I sure did.
Oh wow!
Can drag a
I need to see the. I need to see proof.
You need a receipt.
I can show you that email when it said Brayden is the winner. I didn't win anything.
Oh, I was like,
receipts, proof, timeline, screenshots, f***ing everything.
Yes.
Yikes.
But yeah, Pie Day was fun.
I saw you had some green beer.
I did. We celebrated St. Patty's Day in the office, so I made myself a little green beer.
I like seeing the glimmers of the old fun, Adam. Let me tell you something. I be out telling people because people are like, does Adam go out? I say, let me tell you something. Adam is a ball of fucking fun. I say, Adam used to, no.
And
let me be clear. It's not that you're not fun now. You've tamed down. But what I tell people.
Jill does that to you.
What I'm saying is Adam has grown up. And Adam is in a different point in his life. And I have told people, because they're like, does Adam? I say, I don't think y'all get it. I say, Adam used to give the business. And they're like, I want to see that, Adam. I said, no, you don't.
But I will say now, because Adam doesn't party anymore, the few glimmers where he does, it makes it for very exciting.
That's what I'm trying to get to. I'm like,
people are like, Adam's drinking? What?
Adam's dancing.
Gonna kick my ass.
We were in Lubbock together, and I was off doing God knows what. And I look on the dance floor. God saw me, and I look on the dance floor, and Adam out there on the dance floor by himself twerking and moving.
Yay. Well, we were in Lubbock, and they were playing cumbia at a gay bar. So I was like, oh.
Adam did by himself, and what was I at?
Twirling.
Often twirling.
That's a great way to put it.
Are y'all watching that new documentary on HBO, God Save Texas?
I thought you were going to say Wendy Williams documentary.
I watched that.
Let's take a quick break. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Ms.
everything.
Wendy. Yeah.
All right. Here we'll be right back.
Hey, Pride fam. We would love to hear from you, so please feel free to email us at pridetheseries@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at pridethepodcast. Can't wait to hear from you all, and remember to celebrate Pride 365. Trying hard to make it right. Not long
tell me why.
That mic gonna be hot.
That was My Prerogative by Britney Spears. So yeah, we were talking about Hello Texas. What was it?
God Save Texas.
God Save
With
Texas.
His own hands brought down people from the promised land.
Go off.
Who he bring from the promised land?
I don't know. I think I made that up. That's something like that.
No, I think that's. I think it might be a truck commercial, though.
No.
Yeah. That
sounds like Ford is the best in Texas.
It's one of those.
Anything with Texas in the song is going to sound like the same thing.
Yeah, Derek Queen commercial really comes to mind. Ooh.
Okay, anyway, God Save Texas.
Do y'all have a Texas burger near y'all?
What?
Have you ever heard of Texas burger?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh.
I've heard of Good Burger. How about the Good Burger? Can I take your order? Okay, anyway, God Save Texas on HBO Max Plus Disney, whatever the fuck it's called.
I think it's Max.
Wonderful. So it's this new documentary who shines a light in Texas, but with a liberal lens. Let me explain. Mm. So the first episode is about the death penalty.
Okay.
And how the big prison in Texas, what is it?
Huntsville. Remember we went to Huntsville.
Yeah, well, the first three years of my life, I lived in Huntsville.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom and dad went to college at Sam Houston State University, and we lived in married housing.
So it's just showing the other side that, like,
well, it's showing it's,
it, we're a blue state as well.
It's showing the blue state of Texas, but then it also highlights the red state of Texas, and we're on those
Where is it set?
Texas.
Oh, in Huntsville.
Well, that's the first episode.
It's like a
main series. And then the second episode is on the border, one of the towns in the border, and it talks about how there is the middle section between Mexico and Texas. The middle section of the people there have lives, and they are bilingual. They are both Mexican and American. Mm-hmm. And so they're coming to these, like, crossroads. They feel like they have to choose, even though they haven't chosen in forever, because they do live in that middle land and have family in Mexico and also have family in Texas, whatever. And then the other episode is about the whole, like, oil boom and how the white men took control over it, and that's why they became rich, and that's why they control the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. It's really, really, really interesting. I didn't want to watch it because y'all know how much I hate Texas, but I'm glad I did watch it because it made me realize the underlying amazingness of Texas, and if they were just given the power and a little bit of opportunity, Texas could be what it should be.
A powerhouse.
Well, Brayden, I feel like you and I, the past couple times we went home, we actually talked about this in one of our drunken stupors, is that we're enjoying going home a little bit more. Because it's feeling like...
Just a little.
It's feeling like the conversations are able to progress. Maybe that's the right word. Like, it feels like...
I think it's time, man.
Yeah, man. I feel like I'm now able to have certain conversations. And here's what I will say. I'm happy every time someone surprises me. Because when my cousin... she's trans, and you know, I was talking to my mom and everybody about her. I was fully expecting. I was like, they gonna say, and all I had to do is tell mom, oh, it's she. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah. She said, she's beautiful. Like, I need to have more
grace.
I wish I could have more grace, but have more grace, but also have more thoughts confidence. About people, and just believe in people a little bit more.
That's what I was gonna say. And confidence in people,
because I feel like I've had such a precedent set forward that, like, this is how they're going to be. And, like, that's not always how it is.
Well, that's what I mean by, like, time. Yeah. Time has, like, they say all things heal in time, whatever.
Time has a way of changing.
But with all of this, like, craziness that has happened since we've left Texas, I think there's a silver lining in that craziness because it has opened up the nastiness that is, and our family, I think, kind of knows that, especially who we are.
Time is so
weird. Yeah, you're right. That too.
Time is very weird to me, because I look around the room at you three. I'm sitting on, just so you listeners know, I'm sitting in front of them like I'm being interviewed. So I literally sit kind of.
It's an intervention.
And we've been through so much. And I see different pockets of all three of our relationships and things that we've done when we first met. I think it has a lot, like, Thank and Ashley, when you're like cleaning out stuff and like some of the outfits I've seen you pull out and like
stuff that I've had for over 10 years.
And some of the things that have popped up on my stuff. And it's just like, we just know so much about each other. We've been through a lot. It makes me slightly emotional, but it's just like, it's a lot.
I've cried twice.
It's crazy. Like, looking in y'all's face now, cause I have the greatest view. I'm like, wow, we've been through a lot.
How do I look?
You look.
Don't tell me.
Okay.
What else? What else were we talking about?
Wendy.
Oh, Wendy.
Wendy.
How you doing?
Wendy.
So let's touch on Wendy.
How you doing? Listen, it's rough.
It's very rough.
Mm. It's very sad. So, you know, they started this documentary to be a journey for Wendy to be back on TV, but then it just kind of ended up being the journey of like, what happened to Wendy?
Well, she wanted to. I heard she wanted to do this to
she
kind
did.
Of show
she
what,
did.
To show what she was also going through. Her niece Alex talked about it on The View. She's like, my aunt was like, I want to show people my journey, like you're saying, to get back on TV, but to show them how I'm going to beat the odds to
right.
do that.
But right. then Alex and family and producers found out, when we all found out about the diagnosis of dementia, and if they said if we
alcohol-induced dementia,
they said if they would have known that diagnosis, they wouldn't have never done.
But would they would have had that choice?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that choice of, because who, she has a guardian that's not them. And I think that we are seeing that come out.
But the guardian didn't make them do this documentary.
Mm-mm. No. But I mean, they would have had a choice, for them not to do the documentary. But Wendy would have still possibly, she wanted to, because...
But the producer, she would have had to find another crew then, because the producers were like, we would never have done this knowing that she had dementia.
But it's very apparent, but nobody knew. Like, they revealed, I think, in episode, either end of episode 3 or in episode 4.
Are you done
four.
With it?
I'm done with it. There was only 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, that's when the family wrote, they're like, yeah, she has alcohol-induced dementia. And they were like, they'd been filming for like at least a year. And they were like, this is the first time we're hearing about this. So it was a shock to them. But within that, throughout them filming, they know something is wrong. They just don't know what.
Yeah.
But it's just like, she's very clearly like, she's lucid sometimes, and she's just like, I miss my family, and you know, I'm gonna get back. And she was like, I have all these issues. They show her feet, which is horrific. She took her wig off.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was a lot. But then she has these moments where she's like angry, and she's like yelling at everybody, and like, there was this one scene where she's trying to get a vape pen, and they're like, this is the place you always go to. And she's like, this isn't the place. You gotta drive past the Wendy show. So they do this whole song and dance. And then she
Again.
Was like, and she was like, this is the place. They were like, this is
we were just here. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad, really sad. She didn't know where she was born. She was like, I was born on that street. This woman was like, no, you were born on this street. That's why they named this Wendy Williams Way. And she was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
and I was
it's
like,
really sad.
Oh, no. It is very sad. And, you know, I know there was a lot of people that don't like Wendy Williams because she's a gossip queen, and she would talk a lot of mess about celebrities and people. And so people were like, oh, this is karma. And I'm like, this is not,
That's not karma.
This is sad for anybody. If anything, me and Darrell were talking. Darrell was like, if anything, karma was her husband cheating on her. If you want to try and find some karma.
But Wendy Williams wasn't the only gossip queen.
No.
And like back then when she started her DJ career, she was the voice of tabloids.
Yeah.
Tabloids are still happening today.
Like, she was the Perez Hilton before Perez Hilton.
Right. I need that sound bite you played in the green room. Oh. He was an old dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree with that. And I don't. So Wendy Williams, and I think we talked about this before. What's happening? Is somebody
Girl,
coming to
the
get
police
me?
Oh, shit. Are up in this house.
The whole "How you doing" came about because she used it to out people, and that was that was her way of letting people know, like, this person.
Oh, they're
will,
gay.
Yeah,
and they're a little funny, but
mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's how you doing began.
That's offensive.
Well, that's
See?
Why a lot of people.
There's the issue.
So a lot of people feel that she did and said certain things, but here's what. Wendy, if y'all have not seen, and I know we're not necessarily all big fans of Lifetime movies, but if you have not seen the Lifetime movie about Wendy's life,
I watched it after watching the documentary.
I think you should see it because the girl who plays Wendy, I can't think of her name right now. Producers help me.
She's good.
She's so
fucking
good.
Fantastic. And I think that is a great depiction of what Wendy went through with her husband Kevin Hunter, with people prior to him, and how people in the industry took advantage of Whitney took advantage of Wendy to a certain point that she felt like, okay, well, I mean, she had the ends. She had the ins and outs. And, you know, I'm sad because I would like to see people like NeNe Leakes around her. I would like to see people.
Ciara Payton.
Like Ciara Payton.
Well, Blac Chyna.
Blac Chyna came. Yeah.
I should have been motherfucking Blac Chyna.
Blac Chyna is a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
Who has been abused by her mother.
Her and Wendy had a beautiful.
They did, and it was
that
so
whole
sweet.
Scene was so sweet.
I was really surprised.
She was like, I'm
you don't
here
see
for
that
you.
Side of Blac Chyna,
right? And then this was a moment where Wendy wasn't in her right mind. She was like, "Yeah, my real name's Wendy Hunter." She was like, "Okay." And they were just like, yeah.
But,
and they were just kind of like standing. And then she just hugged her. And she was, Blac Chyna was just like, I love you.
Because she, Wendy, and so to go with what Ashley's saying is like, yes, Wendy definitely talked about people, but she protected people like Blac Chyna. Mm-hmm. She literally would come out and say, this girl, like, Wendy, as much as Wendy talked about people in their business, she also protected certain people in the industry. And I don't think that should go unknown. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that should go unsaid. She saw the things that Blac Chyna went through with her mom. Like, she saw those things and she reached out. And let's not forget, Wendy lost her mother and her dad is really sick right now. And I think that we've talked about a podcast before, when someone loses a parent and vice versa, you feel lost. So we're sending out prayers for Wendy. Mm-hmm. I hope that she gets the right people around her, because I don't know how y'all felt about Sean, but I thought Sean was full of shit.
No, she was really bad. And then they had a whole section in the documentary about guardianship, which reminded me of the movie I Care a Lot.
I haven't seen that. Remember.
You haven't either?
I don't remember.
Brayden, you would love that movie.
What is it?
We watched it, Adam.
I was like, I think I watched that with
we
you.
We watched it after Saltburn, because it has Homegirl in it.
Oh,
who plays the
yeah!
mom. And it has Peter Dinklage in it.
Rosamund
Pike. Yeah, yes. Rosamund Pike. Rosamund Pike, Peter Dinklage. I Care a Lot.
Girl.
And it's about guardianship.
Oh, it's Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen it. But it's,
yes.
Like, it's not a movie. It's like a
No, it's a movie.
Oh, I thought it was a few episodes. Anyway, I loved it. Yes.
Yeah, no.
Girl,
it's
what?
So good. And it's just like the kind of like scary side of people being guardians.
Yeah, I mean, Rosamund Pike was like fucking evil. But
evil.
I thought it was a series or something. My bad.
No, yeah.
No, I saw
and
it.
So that reminded me of that. And so within the documentary, they were talking about like, there are guardians that are dangerous and take advantage of the people that they're watching over. And that was the whole thing with like Wendy. They were like, whoever her guardian is, because they wouldn't reveal who it is. They were like,
her sister knows.
Yeah.
I wish her sister would just.
She was like, they're not doing a good job, because Wendy is still getting access to alcohol. And she has people around her like Sean who are letting her drink,
yep.
And, you know, letting her have meetings with NBC, even though
after she's had countless mini martinis.
Yeah. And knowing that, like, she is not in the right state of mind to be having like business deals with like major networks and stuff like that. But and so she's now deluded where she's just like, I'm about to be back on TV in September. And it's just like. You're not, baby. I'm so
but
sorry.
But I do want to say the entertainment industry was not kind, because the fact that they set her chair out on the sidewalk of her own studio with her name and it set out there for a bit.
That was part of it, where they were like, the studio, like the people that are part of the Wendy Williams show are shady. Like, they're the ones who stripped away the family being the guardians, because they want her to come back to the Wendy Williams show. And they were like, she's not ready yet. And so then that's when they started having a problem. And they were like, well, she needs a guardian, help her
and
not the family.
Well, unfortunately, that's why Wendy initially came out and had issues with Sherri Shepherd. Because Sherri Shepherd, for those of you who don't know, she was the guest co-host.
Mm-hmm.
And then she took that time slot.
And she also took that studio.
And she took the studio.
She took everything.
She did.
Yeah.
Which is not Sherri's fault.
Not Sherri's
fault
at all.
It's not Sherri's fault. But for people who don't know the entertainment industry, that, you know, they just see that and they don't know anything better. So,
Speaking of, yes. What's going on with the Queer Eye cast? You saw what's going on with JVN. They're like under fire because apparently they're a bitch on set.
I've been waiting for this to come out.
What is,
honestly,
what is the tea?
So the
I don't know.
I mean, basically, they play nice. like well, they, none left. Of the I don't think any of them like Bobby each other. Left.
No, they probably all hate each other.
Bobby left.
Bobby's usually get out of situations when they need to.
Jeremiah replaced Bobby, but Jeremiah wasn't supposed to replace Bobby. That one chef was. I can't remember his name. Anyway, Jeremiah is married to Nate Berkus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nate so basically Berkus.
Jeremiah was we went to one Nate of Rachel Berkus Joe's
show. Sources claim assistants. Longstanding tension among the group and alleged quote-unquote rage issues with star Jonathan Van Ness, which honestly makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
so that
it's a lot of coke.
I believe
no.
Wait,
I think they're
sober.
No,
it's coke
don't
rage.
Don't you miss
misdiagnosed?
Do you have a legal note, Darrell?
I do have a legal note. there was no evidence of Jonathan Van Ness doing any cocaine, but I will say
they're
this.
They're sober.
You
but I will say
are full of shit.
But I will, wow, time.
I'm an actress.
But I will
I have
say
all
this.
Of them.
I want to say this piece, and I'm going to like move on because I want y'all to. But Jonathan Van Ness wasn't as much as the problem as the fans, because the fans idolized him and he got a big head. And at that moment, he started being paid the most. And that's when they all came in making the same amount. Jonathan Van Ness became the show because he was the first kind of like
somebody.
I don't
want to
say non-binary because I don't know if that's his identifier. But
I think it is.
They became that type of, you know, individual. And a lot of people were like gassing them up. And this is what you got.
And so this is what somebody else on another podcast was talking about, that ego got in the way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And like everybody, instead of being like, yes, queen, like you did that. Like, congratulations. Like, you got that gig, blah, blah, blah. They were like, why the fuck are they getting
well, Karamo
it?
Well, Karamo got to talk.
I don't know.
JVN
was also, wasn't he in a movie?
Yeah, JVN got the hair stuff.
Bobby has his own interior line.
Isn't that the goal?
Nobody cares about Bobby. Anthony was the hot one because he started being thoughtish.
He's best friends with Taylor Swift right now.
He's got his own cookbook. He's on all the shows, doing all the things.
Right.
I think the ego came, this is just my speculation. I think the ego came from JVN.
Okay.
I just said. I believe you, Brayden. You were 100% right.
Okay, that's what I think, because they were getting, like Daryl said, the most money, but I think the most money came from all the brand partnerships that he was doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Ego got in the way, and everybody
I don't,
was like,
I don't think it was like a jealousy thing from the other castmates. I'm sure there was a little here and there.
No.
But
I mean,
they're all getting their coin.
Is it the Sex in the City, though, kind of thing? It's like where you enter something together. This is why people always ask me, y'all finna get an exclusive.
Oh.
This is why Pride the podcast and Pride the series is not what I'm, because my thing is this. I am not doing anything with this brand without the three people sitting in front of me. And sometimes people feel that, oh, you need to move forward and like get yourself. And I think that, you know, people enter deals together and they're like, we're in this together. That's what happened on Sex and the City. They all entered it together and they all made a pact together. And then they said, Sarah, you're the lead. Like, come over here, girl. Like, you can get the EP credit. Like, it's good. And then the rest of them did not. And so I think that Jonathan got the most brand deals. I think he got the most recognition. He became really famous. Same thing that happened on Dance Moms. The reunion's about to come out. Maddie didn't show up to reunion. And JoJo is like, like Abby made you. She said, we all have an issue with Abby, but you couldn't show up with us. Like, this was our therapy to get through this together. Like, get over yourself. And at this point, I told Ashley the other day, JoJo is actually the most like well known out of Dance Moms.
Only people
who are hardcore fans know about Maddie and the way they know about Maddie.
Yeah.
Realistically,
I mean, Maddie had her moment.
She was the first one to break out from Dance Moms, but JoJo is the biggest person. 100%.
JoJo literally is the judge on a dance. Like, so you think you can dance?
Yeah,
like,
she was on Drag Race.
And she was on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. Like, her whole
brand. She was the
brand,
first.
So who?
In Dancing with the Stars, the first.
Like, kids.
She was the first, and
JoJo Siwa.
And JoJo was the first one to actually come out as lesbian. I want to be very clear. Chloe has a girlfriend now. Mackenzie has a girl. Like, there's a couple of the girls now who have girlfriends, and JoJo was the first. She actually also wore Tyler Wallach Studio, who is a friend of the pod.
That's true. Rumor has it that I saw a TikTok.
Rumor has it
that Abby was part-time hosting
Cracker Barrel.
Yes, thank you.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
She was at the Cracker Barrel in San Antonio.
Do you know who sent me that?
Wait,
who?
What Tyler happened Wallach. In San Antonio?
So at the Cracker Barrel.
She's hosting the Cracker Barrel.
She's a host. Oh, I don't know if she's a permanent host or if it was
JoJo?
Just,
no, Abby.
What is she scooting in her...
No.
No, she was standing at the host stand.
She's not in her room.
We don't have to say wheelchair.
Right, you can say wheelchair.
No, well, I didn't want to be offensive because I thought me saying, like, oh, she's scooting in her wheelchair, y'all going to be like, derail.
Well, that's
you never say scoot.
Because, first of all, you don't scoot in a wheelchair.
Scooting good and boogie.
I'm not. I'm not getting it. This is a no edit episode.
No, it's not.
Shit.
I don't know if anybody told y'all.
As Ashley said, we got to burn this thing to the ground.
Oh, we have a kill switch.
Never. I almost said something real bad.
No, don't. It's fine. Don't. It's not fine.
It's these martinis.
Well, yeah, Darrell's trying to poison us with all these martinis. This is my second one. So
I haven't drank in 48 hours, so this is going straight.
And how do you feel?
Now or before this drink?
You got to be specific.
Before this drink, I... Y'all know I hate life.
You're angry.
But No. Whoa.
You weren't angry.
I wasn't angry. I just realized that I'm always in a bad mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the first step in recovery is realizing it. So I'm super happy about that. Mm-hmm. And then...
Francis helps, though, right?
100%.
Literally, Francis coming over, and I was just, like, cuddling with him, and I was like...
You talked to me privately about this.
I was like, I need emotional support, dog.
No.
No, it lifted my mood.
Literally, privately, the other day, Ashley said, I really like Francis.
I did.
I like, when I get home, he, like, runs to the door. Like, so I love sweet. My cats.
Moms for the poor.
Won't someone help us?
Oh, but can I tell y'all something?
Yeah.
This is just between us. No, I love him. This is just between us.
You're going to get rid of them cats.
Stop. No, I'm not. No. Stop recording. Can you stop recording for a second?
Okay.
I haven't heard from the dude I was dating since he found out I got a dog.
The one who told you don't
get
a dog?
The one that we met?
Yeah, the one who told me not to get a dog.
Well, I mean. Seems like he put you in the doghouse.
Wait, but you have cats, so he has a specific problem with dogs, or just that you added another
animal? He probably
animal?
Doesn't want to date a guy that has 3 living animals and a 10x10 shoebox of
fucking apartment. Animal farm up in this bitch. They're going to coop, make a
creative. Well, then that's not the person for you.
But right.
I was talking to Ashley about
this.
You know how many times
babies.
I've heard that in my life?
Well, I was talking to Ashley about this the other day, and it's like, I won't date someone who don't smoke
Are we
weed
still
or drink.
Not recording?
No, baby, we didn't.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not recording right at all.
Edit that out.
So, like, that's a real thing. It's like, you need to find who's compatible for you.
Darrell.
Yes.
Limit does not exist.
I thought you were going to say Darrell's the compatible one. I was like,
bitch.
We already tried that.
Well,
you did not try that.
Yeah, we did.
You
well,
tried
not,
that.
Well, no, bitch.
You tried that.
You know who tried
you
it?
You tried that.
You know who tried
who?
It?
Laura Tyler Allen. DP?
Who?
Tyler DP. He tried the DPS?
Oh. I meant the Tyler PD.
You know what? We got to take a break and come back and discuss me and Brain's relationship.
Well, I wanted to talk about, because you were talking about, you know, there's somebody for everybody. Kyle Richards obviously found somebody. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about her, I guess,
friendship.
We can't wait to go to Beverly Hills to talk about Kyle.
We'll be right back. That was Fall in Love With Me by Morgan
Kyle
Wade,
Richards.
Dedicated to Kyle Richards.
Featuring Kyle Richards.
Oh, Kyle.
What is going on?
Listen, she's in the public eye, so I completely understand her hesitation with everything, and she is technically married, but it's just like...
Well, she said in the finale of the reunion that they are separated.
Right, so it's just like gives her a little more room.
But she said that we are allowed to date whoever we want.
Of course.
Okay.
But I'm just like, Kyle, come on.
And Mauricio has
it's
been...
It's fine. Even if they haven't slept together, even if they haven't kissed, it is very apparent
they
she has
kissed. They kissed in this music video.
Well, sure. If they hadn't kissed outside of the music video, she at least has a huge crush on her.
Yeah.
at like the very, very bare minimum.
Think, and it could be just as innocent as like a schoolgirl crush. Like, you know how you fall, you
that's
fall
not,
for.
That's not it. That's not it. That's
maybe not.
Not
it. That's but not it could not. Be not just like I find joy in hanging out with this person.
No, y'all
she just
did not watch
the
finale
sex.
Of the reunion.
No, we didn't. I didn't watch it yet. But I will. I don't even need to. We already know that they're like together. But.
And everybody else on those couches, no.
Yeah, well. But just to give her a little grace in case, like, it's not impossible that they're not together. It's very unlikely, and they definitely are. But you know what I'm saying? Like, in the off chance, it's just like, Kyle, you just have to be for real. And it's just like, everybody knows. It's like, it's very apparent that you guys like each other at the very, very bare minimum least. But it's like, we know y'all are together, so... It's fine. No one cares.
I know no one cares. No one cares.
No one cares. But I think we actually want you to be happy, and it gives you a little something extra to talk about.
Right. I think there must be something, though, going on with her daughters or something with Morgan or some sort of like legal situation.
That they're not okay with it?
That they don't. Something. Someone doesn't want Kyle to just admit it yet.
Well, so there's a lot of pieces to this. And so, and this kind of like goes into the bigger housewives realm and conversations. The. Issue at hand is like there's housewives talking about drama, talking about drama outside of the show, and Mauricio, who is Kyle's house husband, he is talking about why they broke up outside of it. He has this show on Netflix, the agency show, and he's talking about it on there, and he's saying that. Speaking out about how Kathy Hilton and her husband like screwed him over and stuff, and
well, then, they talk about on that on the reunion.
Yeah, and then he's talking about all of that, and I believe that Kyle is at a different point in her life. Brayden Adam and I knew a teacher in college whose name I will not say,
ooh.
Who went through like a midlife kind of crisis, and I think that Kyle is in a place where she's like, listen, years ago she was. Wouldn't have done things like that. And now she's like, listen, maybe I would date a girl. Like, she is considering. And I think we need to give her a little bit of grace on that. What mm-hmm. I will not give Kyle grace on is how she dragged Denise Richards prior to that. And what these women don't know on Housewives is how homophobic they lean. The whole gay witch hunt, mm-hmm. like
every franchise, every season.
They do it on Atlanta. They literally did it on Salt Lake City.
They do it on Potomac.
They do it on Potomac on Salt Lake when Angie was like, oh, Jen and Heather were doing Barbie scissor kicks. They've done it on Potomac, talking about how close people are in there and like, are y'all lesbians? Like, they now did it on Housewives on Beverly Hills. And Kyle literally was saying a couple seasons ago, like, Denise, what'd you do? Well, Kyle, now people want to know what you did. So that is a little bit of my problem with Kyle. It's like, if you want to talk about it, talk about it. And I think Kyle regrets because if everyone remember, Kyle did come out in an interview and say that she talked to Denise after the reunion and apologized for her behavior. Because, like, you can't do that.
People evolve.
I was going to say maybe that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously that. But I think she felt some sort of way seeing Denise being able to live, you know, however she wants to live. Like, she's sexually fluid. She has threesomes with her husband. They get, like, freaky massages or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think, ultimately, Kyle was like, I want to do that.
Absolutely.
But instead, she was like, no, well, that's nasty.
Well,
like, I would
maybe
never.
Kyle didn't
like, I would never.
That,
well, there's
no,
such, well, there's
that's,
such
some, a, that's bullshit because now this wouldn't be happening now.
But that's not true.
People
are evolved.
Absolutely,
like,
but think
I was,
about
I,
it.
Once I was straight.
We all were.
But
we all
not.
Tried to
I was
be.
Not. I was,
we
I
all
was,
tried.
I was in kindergarten. No, ma'am. But
what I was going to say, because it was like, think about it. Some of your biggest bullies end up 100%. 10 years later.
Let me talk about
out,
it. So,
like,
so
okay.
All of you bullies, get out of my fucking DMs, sending me your dick pics when you tried to call me the F word earlier on. Adam, let's talk about it. Because what you're not gonna do is you're not gonna continue sitting here talking about like you this and you that, but you in my DMs while you don't do me.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's not to that extreme, but. It is one of those, I feel like, kind of an instance of where, like, Kyle felt a little, like, jealous, bitter, whatever, I want to do that. So instead, I can't. So instead, I'm gonna just lash out.
But let's
and make you feel bad as how I feel watching you.
Brayden, I don't know if you know, because you notice things like this. Let's watch our queen, Erica Jane's face. When Kyle is talking about certain things, about maybe trying this or that, Erica's like nodding her head because Erica gets it, because Erica has been very
Erica's
sexually
open.
She's open
for a very
She's
long
friends
time.
Friends with a lot of
and
gays. Erica,
and Erica's not... Erica's a lot of things, and she can be cold, she can be XYZ, but she's not the person
she doesn't
to
lie.
Judge. And well, she can only tell what she can tell when she can tell it.
Well, yeah, well, that's that's the law.
Well, that yeah.
Anyways, yeah, let's move on.
Yeah,
Darrell, I know you're especially excited about this news. Nev Campbell is back.
I hope no one minds if I live tweet this bit.
Exactly. Nev Campbell is officially back for Scream 7.
I guess they found something in the budget.
They did. She said they came at her respectfully, so I guess they said the right number.
I guess. What would be
so
the number?
So there's
seven
little, so there's
figures.
Brayden's not wrong.
Eight figures.
It's, yeah. No, it's Scream 7 figures.
So here's the thing. I'm very excited about Nev Campbell coming back. I am. Listen, the online fandom is really weird, because when Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega first came into it, a lot of people were like, we don't want these like Spanish bitches. And like they said
of
awful
course,
things.
That always happens.
Because
if it's not white, it ain't right.
Just for everyone to know, the role of Sam was originally supposed to be played by the actress who played in part 6 at the very beginning, Samara Reaving. She was originally cast as Sam, and she could not do it because she was doing something else at the time. And so she was like, I cannot do this role. So Sam and her sister were supposed to be played by white characters. Mm-hmm. Melissa Barrera came in. She did it. I think that there's just so much, again, going on behind the scenes, obviously, in Hollywood. A lot of people are like, well, why is like Nev not supporting her in XYZ? No. When Nev didn't do part 6 and Melissa was the first one to come out, she's like, I support her. And as a woman, she's 100% right to feel the way she feels. Nev came out originally when Melissa was let go, and she's like, that's fucked up, XYZ. I think, and Nev also, it's reported that she arranged meetings with Melissa and Spyglass. And Spyglass said to Melissa, we will have you back in the franchise if you apologize for your comments about Palestine. She said, I'm not apologizing. They were like, all right, well, we had to move on. She's had several meetings since then. I don't think that her story is necessarily done, but I do think for right now it's okay if Sydney comes back in. And I think
we don't need to another. Thank you. Exactly.
I think Sydney.
We don't
Gail,
need it.
I think Sydney and Gail. I think it should be their story to finish. I'm curious of what it's going to be. And Adam, there are rumors that it could end up being the new Nightmare, like Wes Craven's new Nightmare, where they play.
Oh God.
Where they're like, it's like Nev Campbell. Is
Nev Campbell
about to sign up for another Scream movie as Sydney, and then like Ghostface starts killing off the real actors and Rose McGowan's in it.
I would love to see Rose come back. Oh,
I would
Rosie.
Love to see Rose.
I just don't know, because that the Scream 1 was very traumatic for Rose McGowan because it was the whole Harvey
Weinstein.
Weinstein.
Fuckstein, you said it right.
I was
You're about to see fire.
Shh.
What?
Silence.
So,
bring back my girls.
Ew. Oh, I thought that was a sound effect.
You're welcome.
I was like, ew, Adam, where'd you get the sound effect?
Sorry, the Oscars were last week.
Wait a minute. You're not going to switch on Nev like that. How y'all all feel about Nev Campbell coming
it's
back?
Fine.
Girl, whatever.
I'm excited.
This is Swim
obviously, 70. Right. I'm excited. I'm anxious to see what, like... You know, are we in a different city? Are we still in New York? Are we going?
Are we
like,
seeing
what are we
Sydney's
doing?
Family?
Are we going to LA?
I think we're going back to Hollywood.
If they do the new
Nightmare.
I really think they should be in Atlanta, because like Atlanta is the new Hollywood
in Hotlanta.
Yeah. I would like to see Nev surrounded by a bunch of. I would like to see Nev surrounded by a bunch of niggas. Now, since we're in Hollywood, Adam.
Type like a motherfucker.
Bridget Everett.
I'm excited to talk about the Oscar winners.
Wait, how are you gonna not have a sound effect for that?
I don't have one. Blame it on our producer Corey. I'm so sorry, Corey.
You always hit the right note,
Corey.
This is Corey's fault.
Corey.
What do you want to talk about, Adam?
No, the Oscar winners.
Okay, like, well, tell us who they were.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr. It was finally a lot of firsts. It was a lot of firsts for me, anyway.
Yeah, it was.
Robert Downey Jr.
Finally.
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy.
Right.
Is it Cillian or Cillian?
Yes, it's Cillian.
I thought it was Cillian.
No, it's Cillian.
I don't know.
Wait, do we know that for sure?
Yeah, 100%.
There was a joke made, but I don't know which one was the real one.
It's Cillian.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Look it up. Brayden. Go ahead.
I don't need to. I'll take your word for it.
Listen, I'll take your friend.
Okay, Christopher Nolan won his first Oscar for Oppenheimer.
He was nominated
eight times. Wow.
And then finally fucking won.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought he had won already.
No.
Nope.
Hmm.
So
Emma Stone won again.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Poor Things was great. We all watched it together.
So we do a ballot at work, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Best Actress for me was really, really hard to pick between Lily and Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Even though everyone in that category was fucking phenomenal this year. Yes. I really wanted Lily to win, just being that she was like the first Indigenous woman to ever be not like history making, wonderful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to put my acting critique hat on.
Exactly.
And I think Emma like fucking slayed.
No, she knocked it out of the park.
She did, but you know. Right. But like Emma really like she, there were so many nuances and so many different like intricacies.
Levels of her role.
She got
in
nude.
Poor Things.
And see the thing.
She was nude most of the time.
Yes.
The thing with me about Lily, only watching half of the movie, I will admit, I only watched half of it. What I did watch, I was like, she's not doing a whole lot for me. She's kind of just like standing off, having diabetes.
She delivered lines well. She delivered her lines well.
No, it was fine.
Yeah.
Well, but nothing where I was like, whereas Emma Stone. And I mean, obviously, well, they're two different characters. They're written two different ways.
They're two genres,
completely different genres.
We want to be clear about the standing off diabetes part. Like, she was standing off playing a role that
feel
like resonated with you.
Oh, no, yeah. I guess.
I just want to do that because I don't want nobody to.
Well, I guess you're thinking more of like a technical side, like what kind of like things did you have to do to play this role? Not necessarily about the impact of what you're doing,
but what were
the physical like things and like how you had to stress your muscle.
How do you do it?
Y'all spend way too much time together.
I give credit to Otis and Anita.
We spend way too much time together.
I am so lost right now.
No. I just want to, because Adam is right in his point, but to actually kind of like flesh it out, it's just like, you know how sometimes people feel like you don't do enough as an actor as opposed to what this person did? It's like, oh, all you did was talk in an accent. Well, you showed your vagina and your titties. You know, they're two different like levels.
They're two different.
There's different levels of what people consider like, oh my God, that's acting. And like, you did this superbly. It's like where Emma Stone was very like, she had a lot of nuances, levels. Like it was just so much.
She left her body to become this character.
Yeah. She had to put so much into this character.
Transcend.
Whereas Lily Gladstone, and I have not seen the movie, so I can't speak too much on it, but it's just like, from what you're describing,
there was no transcendence.
There was no like transcendence. But there, it means a lot to the Indigenous community,
100.
POC community, and what she did was portray a real person.
Yeah.
Whereas Emma Stone, like, you know, there's no such
thing as...
Was a
heightened version.
Like, you know, there's no Frankenstein or anything like that. Exactly. That's like, it was fantasy.
And you heard it here first, people. You heard it from real actors.
Yeah.
Who just schooled you, which is why my point stands about the talent that I see before me.
So it's just a matter of opinion. Like, what resonates more with you, or what do you feel like has the more like power.
Gravitas, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, power to it. It's just like someone who does so much for one role, or someone who's just completely raw and real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. I also want to give a shout out to Cora Jefferson, who was the director and everything for American Fiction, because he got up and he made a speech about it. He's like, listen, Black people are more than what you think they are. And like, please, if you haven't seen it, go online and definitely look it up. Like, he just kind of read them in the room. He's like, listen, I just feel like it's more than what you think. We don't always have to play thugs and gangsters and things like that. We do have something outside of that.
That's like American Fiction.
Yeah. Well, he's a director.
Yeah.
So I like him saying, I just want to give a shout out to him and to Sterling K. Brown. Like,
and Divine and Joy Randolph. First, another first. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, won for The Holdovers.
Yes.
Congratulations. Like, another first. That's what I'm saying. It was a lot of firsts.
And I want to give a thing out to Ryan Gosling. Like, he got up on that stage and he sang his ass off.
It was
cute. Do we think that he really got fillers?
Yes.
Oh, was that a thing? I didn't see.
Well, yeah, they keep going back to him, like, praising Emma for her win in 2017 and 2024.
Yep, I've seen that picture.
Yeah, like the whole meme or whatever. And in 2017, he's obviously skinnier because it's fucking 7 years ago. But I don't know if he got fillers. I think he just got older and maybe gained a little bit of weight.
Fillers in his cheeks.
Yeah.
No, baby. That's called fat.
Well, I also want to quickly say before we go to break and everything. So, because I feel this very personally, because listen, I've been surrounded by people like, you know, Ashley Braden and like really good singers and like, you know, felt like, oh, I get. Ryan literally said how much, because he was on the Mickey Mouse Club, for all of you who don't know. He said that he was asked to appear infrequently because the other children were considered more talented.
He was with Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake.
And Justin Timberlake. And he was
and Christina Aguilera.
And he was told, hey, you can't sing, so we're going to put you on episodes where we like take one or two of them off. And I want to give a shout out to him because maybe for him, getting on that stage, doing that in that moment was very important. And I thought he did a really good job.
I'm sure he was
a wonderful job.
It was beautiful.
And friend of the pod, Scott Evans, was on
it. He was up there just shaking and vibrating.
Scott, we talked, and I think Scott will be joining us very soon.
Yes, people, everyone go at Scott Evans and just tag him.
It was so good. So, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to keep talking about hot topics. We'll be right back.
Super Bowl.
I hate that I like that.
Yes. Girl, it gets you pumped. It gets you hype.
It does.
And look, we're in March. It's March Madness. I'm hype. I've been watching nonstop basketball.
I thought that was a football soundtrack.
I mean, it's ESPN.
It's ESPN. Sports.
It's a sports sound.
Okay, cool.
But right now is March Madness.
Nice.
Like this is the other one that you might know. And on SportsCenter tonight,
with Adam,
I do not know that.
The top 10 plays of the week. Here we go. Number one would be Camila Cardoso hitting the final three-pointer of the game between Tennessee. They were down by 1.1 second left on the clock. They're undefeated in conference play and in regular season.
Yes.
So this was
and
a
my
moment.
Mom was there.
Ashley's mom was
my
there.
My mom was there in
watched
person.
Watched it all unfold in person, live. The stadium. She hit the three, which no one guarded her because, you know, posts aren't really cared. Like, they don't care about post shooting because we ain't got a shot like that. We're not shooters. So they were like, no, we're not gonna guard her. It's fine. She chunks it up. Boom. Knocks it in. Banks it off the backboard. Time expires. People go buck fucking wild. So that was my number one. Number two.
Are we doing all 10?
No.
Oh, thank God.
My number two would be the very next game in the final between LSU. LSU is very well known. They got Bayou Barbie. You know, they're the reigning national champs. Angel Reese. Yes. So
what about Kaylee McEnany, who just shot the most points?
Caitlin.
Who?
He's talking. I see what you did there.
Whatever her name is.
Caitlin Clark.
That one.
Caitlin Clark. Not that.
No, she's doing very.
What did you say?
Caitlin McEnany. I know who used to work for He Who Shall Not Be Named. Brayden know what he was doing. God damn it.
Her name is? She's like
Caitlin
the most,
Clark.
She's the most award winner.
She has the most D1 points out of
and
male
misogynistic men are so angry.
I love that.
I'm sure. Well, but I love all the memes and the videos that are going around on social of the little boys that are in, like, in elementary school who are fine to get her autograph. I think that's really, really sweet.
Yeah, it's cute.
That's
it's
really good to see. Like, I mean, especially with social media possibly, especially TikTok possibly being banned. Like, that's kind of, it's good. I mean, a lot of people discover people through social media, through TikTok, and I think that's a big thing, especially for Gen Z, so.
But yeah.
But the brawl.
So yeah, yes. Basically, in a nutshell, LSU and South Carolina are their rivals. They're the top two in the SEC conference. So things got heated. One girl fouled. She kind of held on to her, and she was just like, get the fuck off me. And then they were jawing at each other, and she, one of the girls from LSU, pushed another girl from South Carolina. So then Camila Cardozo comes around and knocks down this little, like, 5'5 girl, like, to the court. Like, she
and
hits the hard.
Camila
she hits the
is
6'5". She's, like, 6'5". She's a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
Knocks her down. All chaos ensues. Both benches clear. They come running up. They're all trying to brawl.
These are women?
Women.
Yes.
Flaje Johnson's brother, who was in the stands, he pushes a security guard, steps
crazy.
On her, jumps over the, like, barricade to get to Camila to, like, you know, be like
get
no,
off
get
my
off my sister. He gets taken away in handcuffs.
He's in jail.
He's still in jail. He's
this
still
is
in
why
custody.
Sports should be banned.
Well, Brayden.
So then that's what I wanted to bring up. Like, how far is, like, too much competition?
Because that's like,
now we're
this
getting
would
to
never
like,
happen
what's his
in
name?
An arts environment.
In the NBA? Yeah. That loves
and
to
arts
fight.
Are being revoked from
who
public
loves
schools.
To fight
just
in the NBA.
You know who I'm talking about, who's
oh,
always in a fucking fight.
What is his name? Draymond Green.
Yes! Draymond. He needs just to be a boxer.
Well, or because, just banned.
Or just banned. So, because it's like, why are you trying to, like, fist fight? Like, just do hockey then. Like,
well, so two things about that, actually. So, number one, I don't know if anybody saw that video of Conor McGregor the other day. People are asking people to pray for him because he apparently is in a big coke situation.
Oof.
Pray for him on that. That's a whole nother thing.
No, but, I feel like he's problematic. So,
well, he is, yeah. But...
he could still use some prayers.
Who uses prayers? Oh, yeah. So it's basically in East Texas, they have started doing a thing where they're like, listen, you cannot like cause issues at the game. Parents cannot scream and say certain things. There can't be certain issues. So they
then
started,
why go to the game? That's the
well,
most fun.
So they've started doing things, Brayden. I don't know if you're like, where they clear the gym. And the only people who can be in there is the players, the coach, and the refs. Because
that's not fun.
Well, there's a shortage, not at all. There's a shortage of refs. Right now in like certain school districts, and they're saying like you cannot come attack the refs and say like fuck you ref that's a block or whatever. If the refs feel that they're being attacked, they can do that. And so they've cleared out two schools. At least Palestine was one of them, and I believe Nacogdoches, one of them
nasty roaches.
Nasty roaches.
Yeah, one of them. So
Natchez just made it to the state tournament.
Yeah. So they cleared the gym. They were like, you can't. And parents were outside with things. They're like, we want to come in there. And it's like parents started fighting from the opposite side. Like, parents so got on stupid. The court and started fighting other parents.
So here's my thing
so
about all of this.
You're right.
Like, since dating Sarov, I've become, like, a soccer fan. Now, soccer fans are fucking ruthless,
crazy,
rude, nasty. Soccer players, too, they can get nasty on the field. Like, there's a lot of, like...
Tension
and anger's flares. You get very physical. So my question is like, how come like it can be appreciated when it's like on the pitch, like two men going at it, fight, fight, fight. But when two women do it, it's just like, now, come on, y'all.
It's unladylike.
It's like, we don't want to see that. We don't want to. But like, I just like watching reality TV. Like, I like seeing people fight. Like, I grew up on the Bad Girls Club and now Baddies. So I'm like, yes, bitch, get her, fight her, like, let's fuck up, you know, whatever.
Aubrey O'Day
but
just joined the Bad
I
Girls
saw
Club.
It.
It's coming back. God. Bad Girls Club is still
a thing. Let's put a pin in that.
Because I do have that. Something that I could contribute to this stupid sports conversation.
And so I'm just like, I see it as like, oh, you're fucking with my teammate, I'm gonna fuck you up. She was protecting her girl.
Yeah,
because that's what happens on the soccer pitch. Mm-hmm. Like, you foul my friend, I'm going to push you. Like, fuck you. Don't, you know, get the fuck off of him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like that situation. She's Brazilian as well. Yeah. Brazil's known for being, you know, really good at sports. So, and physical, very mm-hmm. physical. So she's just going to like knock you out. And that's what she did. So now I saw it as, yeah, like competitive. I'm hungry. I'm angry. You hit my girl. Blah, 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 blah.
Can I say something now?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'm super proud of Josh Cavallo, Australia's first openly gay professional soccer player.
Work.
He came out in 2021. And the other day he proposed to his boyfriend on the soccer field.
Yeah, on the pitch.
Wow.
Wait, he plays for who?
Australia.
Oh, the he's an Australian national team.
Adelaide United, is that a thing?
Yeah. It's an Australian team.
Great, yeah.
It's a club.
Okay, great, cool. Not part of the club. But anyway, he proposed to his boyfriend.
That's so cool. Very which sweet. Is so crazy because
Australia, hello.
Well, that, but
Rupert Murdoch, get out of here.
Like, soccer football fans are very notoriously like anti-gay. They love to hurl.
So how does that feel? Slurs. Like, you said you've been watching a lot of it, which mm-hmm. Robin, I know it's his favorite. Like, how does that feel? How does he feel about that? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think, and then growing up playing sports and being called a slur, you know, it's just kind of like it comes with the sport. It comes with the territory. But that I'm not saying that's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously things need to change. And I will say there is an effort for things to change within, like, you know, MLS and like European soccer, where it is very like racist, very homophobic.
I don't know. I went there to Europe and had the most sex I've had in my life.
No, that's fucking fabulous.
That's a lot.
That doesn't
a lot
mean
of sex
there's not
in
racism
America.
There.
That's very that true.
And there's also fetishizing.
I was gonna say that.
Well, that's anywhere.
So of course, yes. Yeah, you love to that's see right, yeah. You know, you obviously love to see like the things put in place, like, oh, I'm here to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future, blah, blah, blah.
Do you
blah,
think
blah,
that
blah.
That affects, but, like, the gay community where they start to believe that, like, that's how it is? You know, that's how it is. Like, in certain countries and in certain places, like, my relationship and my situations will always be down low because that's how I've learned.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a whole different...
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say on the, like, women's basketball front about, like, them fighting and stuff, where, okay, I'm ratchet too, and I like to see, like, you know, the Bad Girls Club, Love and Hip Hop type fights mm-hmm. as well. Like, essentially, in a sports, like, you don't, no one should be fighting. However, I think these women fighting in some kind of way, it's kind of like aligning themselves, like, we are the same as the men's sports. Like, we get heated. We feel this way too. We get heated and we want to fight too. And so it's just like, I don't think they need to be extra hard on them because they're women.
Say it.
You know what
it,
I mean?
Yes.
But I don't also want to encourage fighting, even though I low key do. But like, but I don't want to encourage.
Not that lower register. I low key do.
Like slap her. Like rap. Girl, I showed you clips.
Right, you did.
She pulled her hair.
Yeah.
Okay, and I mean, that's them, a no-no.
That's a
she
no-no.
She pulled her hair.
She did.
And as girl, you as got Drita, one more time to do that.
And I don't know if any of y'all online have been watching. Go. There's this whole resurgence of mild bias. Drita has been like, she's crazy. Drita's out of control. Y'all should watch some old videos of Drita fighting.
Oh no, I've seen girl. That was another one that was like fight. Like, I want
you. That is terrible.
Well, I know,
these times we should be promoting peace.
Well, I know it. We want to go, but there is something. Listen, when we have podcasts like this, we have to talk about a certain name. Marion Margolis. I want to quickly touch on that.
Oh yeah, I wanted to talk about this. So Marion Margolis, who plays Professor Sprout on Harry Potter, she said that these adult Harry Potter fans should be over it by now. And it's kind of like weird and creepy that like they're obsessed with like a children's program, basically.
Yeah.
And so people are, you know, having discussions about that. Obviously, everyone knows I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, so I have a lot of feelings on this. I mean, first and foremost, I think that, like, looking at Miriam's, like, her as an actress as a whole, she's done a lot of things that are, quote-unquote, for children. Cartoons, voiceovers, Harry Potter, obviously. So if people were to not invest their time and still continue to be fans being adults, that would cut her career in half. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of irresponsible for her to say that. One. Two, with Harry Potter specifically, when you think of it, yeah, you think like, oh, it's like a children's thing. But like after like halfway through the series, it really is not. People start dying. The main villain, Voldemort, his like goal is mass genocide, and he's also a serial killer. None of that is children topics. So it's just like having more respect for the thing that like really, even though she's done so many things, but like Harry Potter's what she's known for. Even though she wasn't even that big of a character, like that's what,
I knew Miriam. I knew Miriam prior to that. Again, it's a small.
I knew her prior to that, but like that's what I think of her. Right. When I think of her, I'm like, oh, Professor Sprout. She was like the voice of the matchmaker in Mulan. Like she's done a lot of like stuff like that.
I could argue with her that she thinks that Harry Potter was for kids because mm-hmm. when I was a kid, I was not allowed to read Harry Potter
because it's not so much for kids.
It's not a kid's.
Yeah, even though it stars kids, it's just like. Yeah, but it's just like for a lot of people, especially like the Christian community, talking about witchcraft and stuff like that, that is not children's stuff at all, you know? And so, and then especially even after once people start dying, even if you are for witchcraft, it's not children topics. Like it's talking about death and mass genocide and serial killers and like dark witch stuff, like torturing, like it's heavy stuff.
Exactly.
It's for children.
It's like the Crucible.
Yeah, it's like a coming of age, if anything. If you want to talk about the series as a whole, you can say it's a coming of age, which means like eventually you get away from the children's stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it was just irresponsible of her the way she phrased it because I'm like, girl, first of all, you're kind of shitting on your career because you do a lot of children's stuff. And I would hope that you would think that people would hold on to your stuff because that's how you make your money. Yeah. And then two, also it's not for children, so like don't shame people. Also, yeah, obviously I took it personally because I'm a Harry Potter fan and she talked about people having Harry Potter themed weddings and I just helped plan a Harry Potter themed wedding. So
shout out
I was
to
also
Christine
like,
Paul.
Right.
I think that though and I told Ashley the other day, she should have spoke about the examples that she had because what happened is she had some bad experiences because there are people that walk up and listen, we've talked about this before. I talked about it from a soap standpoint. There's been a lot of soap actors who've been walking through the city or through LA and that people have walked up to them and slapped them and be like, how dare you do that to someone? Because a lot of people invest a lot of time in television. And coming up on the podcast, we're going to talk about that, how some people get so involved in television. So I said the same thing about Sandra from Traitors. Like she came up and she has started like spilling some tea. She's like, well, this is what happened XYZ. And we're talking about people taking the fun out of things. Fifi O'Hara did this on Drag Race. And, you know, I did it for Braden in college when I told him Real Housewives was not real. He was very upset about that.
Still am.
Still am. We're still in a fight about it, but I love my bestie. But, you know, I think that it does boil down to what do you want to take from someone? And let
money.
Let people have their fun.
Vengeance.
Vengeance. No, listen, at this point, as far as reality TV goes, like everybody should know there's an element of production.
They
and
should.
That even though it's quote unquote reality, there is still like things that are manipulated, pre-planned, pre-judged, you know, like people are quote unquote winning something, but like it was always planned for them to win, you know, or, you know. Even, you know, I worked on Love and Hip Hop and it's similar to like Housewives is like these trips that they plan where like I'm taking y'all to DR and it's just like production is taking you to DR. So you didn't plan anything. It was just like your storyline to take X, Y, and Z to, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people should know that and there should have the poise and wherewithal to know that when they are talking about reality people and if they meet them in person. But you know, some people they cannot separate it and they think it's all 110% real and they, you know,
So,
and so I understand why people's grievances where they're like, y'all are crazy.
Yeah, so go out and touch grass. That's what we're saying. So listen, guys, thank you so much for joining another episode of Pride the Podcast. This has been great. I'm happy to be with the core four Kofo. No mo.
Okay.
Follow me on Instagram at I am Darrell Anthony, Darrell Anthony on Twitter.
You can find me, Adam Andrew Rios, at the Adam Rios with a zero on Instagram, and at Boxwine Poppy with a zero on X and TikTok.
And you can find me on Instagram at Mr. Braden Bradley, or for my professional shawties, yes, you can check out my website, BradenBradley.com.
And you can find me, Ashley, at Ashley Air.
I know that's right.
You can find me, Ashley, at Ashley Aaron M on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn for the professional shawties, TikTok, and yeah. See what I'm about. Yeah. And please follow Io Cummings at The Fabulous Spencer on Instagram and X. And also shout out to Io and her family. We have you in our thoughts and prayers.
Love you, Io.
Yes. Love you, Io.
And also make sure, since Braden's talking about professional shortest, follow PrideTheSeries.com that Braden created
and that's made. That's right.
Because he's a professional shorter.
That's right.
So go check that out. And also follow Corey Seymour and Teresa at Teresa Kelson.
Okay.
I think we got everybody.
We could also follow.
Yeah. Follow Kitchen Island Tea at Kitchen Island Tea.
You can follow on Francis,
Instagram.
My new dog.
Can you,
are you
make
give
one?
Him an Instagram?
I do not give up.
Great. No, you have to make one.
Whoa. We're still going here.
No, we're being laid off.